Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast that spills the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Netta. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm so excited to be back on the main feed covering international events. How about you?
Oh my God, it feels like it's been so long. I'm very excited to be here.
Yeah, I feel like life has been conspiring to keep me and figure skating apart, but it will never work. I will find figure skating in every universe.
Wow, that is so romantic. That is like the most romantic thing I've ever heard.
Is it a quote from something? I feel like it's a quote from something.
I'm sure it is.
It's probably from like Homestuck or something.
Jesus Christ, I hope it is. I just have no idea. I hope it is. I hope it's from like a shit post. I hope it's like, I will face God and walk backwards into hell, which is a drill tweet.
Yeah, it's probably a Tumblr shit post about like mozzarella sticks or something.
from like 2011.
Yeah, but that is like the peak of love for me. You can't keep me away from figure skating. So today's episode, we're going to look back on Four Continents, which happened a few weeks ago, and we're going to look ahead to Worlds, which happens in like a couple days.
Which happens truly so soon. It's right down to hours. I'm counting down hours until Worlds happens. But yeah, we're doing this as kind of a refresher on Four Continents and kind of a where are they now, I guess, of leading into our Worlds predictions. Shall we?
We shall. Before we begin, if you would like to support us on Patreon, you can do so at patreon.com/icedteapod, where you can find over 3 years of bonus episodes, and you will also get a special shout out at the end of the show. So check us out there if you want to.
Hell yeah. And in the event that social media does fall apart, which you never know at this point, you can go to our website, which is icedteapod.com, and sign up for my emergency newsletter. I still haven't had to send a newsletter, and I don't know if I will, but it's a very lovely list of people who would like to stay in touch, and you can join them on our website, which is icedteapod.com. You can also leave reviews there and all that cool stuff.
But only if they're nice. If you're mad,
only if they're nice.
Keep it to yourself. So
yeah, don't be mad at us. Also, just a quick side note. If you have things to tell us regarding something that we said in an episode, if you want to like fact check us or something, there's many ways to contact us that are not our reviews. And I promise you, you can tell us about a thing that we got wrong or an opinion that you have without it being a review, please. There's so many. icedteapod.com. There are several ways to contact us on there.
Yeah, we would love you to fact check us, honestly. But to leave it as a review is kind of like, well, I'm mad that they didn't get this thing right, but we never said we were going to. So
yeah,
it's not exactly a review category.
I love getting fact checked. I hate when it's via the form of a review. Anyway, let's talk about skating.
Let's do it. So before we get into any of the competitions, a little bit of breaking news. Ashley Wagner has announced that she and Adam Rippon are starting a podcast, which obviously we support because, you know, podcasting is good. Podcasting about skating is even better.
Podcasting with your hot friends about figure skating is something that can be so personal.
It is. And I walked by Ashley Wagner at Skate America, like almost shoulder to shoulder. So what I can confirm about her is that she's very beautiful. And if my life has been any indication, being really beautiful helps you be a great podcaster. So they're going to do great.
Yeah, I'm very excited about your podcast. The cover art is just like an ancient picture of them as kids. It looks amazing. I haven't had the chance to listen yet, but I'm very excited, and I'm excited about like the former competitive athlete perspective combined with a sense of humor that we've seen from both of them on the internet that I think is also going to be fun and exciting to listen to. So I can't wait.
Yeah, I probably won't listen if I'm going to be really honest. I don't listen to other figure skating podcasts, but if you guys, I'm sure you guys do. So tell us if it's good. It's not because I don't think it's going to be good. In some ways, it's because I'm afraid it's going to be really good and then it's going to like give me ideas and then I'm just going to say that instead of my own ideas.
I always worry about like inceptioning myself.
No, yeah. Totally. Well, it's like how the people on The Last of Us didn't play the video game really because they didn't want to be like, you know, it's exactly like I'm a Pedro Pascal, Bella Ramsey level actor is exactly what it's like.
Am I the Bella Ramsey to your Pedro Pascal? Is that what we're arriving at 5 minutes
into this?
Are you
calling me daddy? It's like not even 5 minutes into
I
the
am
show.
Calling you daddy, but I'm also tinier and have less gender than you.
You are smaller and have less gender, and I'm queer in a way that's like seldom talked about, but we all kind of know. So I feel like it works.
And I also spend every waking moment of my life thinking about Ashley Johnson. So I feel like it works out on several Perfect. Levels. This Perfect. Is now the Last of Us podcast. I'm not caught up.
Yeah, which I would like to say, The Last of Us, okay, it only airs on HBO, which is, like, pretty exclusive. If you don't have HBO, it's like you're out of the loop. However, significantly easier to watch than fucking figure skating.
That is so true. Figure skating continues to be a mystery of so many places and streaming services. And it reminds me of that tweet that was, like, office culture is all about, like, you get the schedule on Bing Bong, and then we're gonna do your timesheet on the blob, and then, like, whatever. It's the same thing. It's the same thing.
No, it is. Honestly, like, if the ISU made a Slack and, like, just sent us links, that would be so much better at this point.
Slack.
It continues to get worse. It continues to get more and more inscrutable. Basically, okay, so I didn't actually take the ISU survey this time, but according to people who did you?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, so according to everyone else I
took
know,
it as a normal person because I tried to get accredited as a media person and they never got back to me. They didn't even send me a rejection. It just like never went through. So I just did it as a normie.
Yeah, they like don't want to accredit us for some reason, which is really funny because we probably have like more that's of a following fine. Than them, but whatever. I mean, that's not true, but whatever. I can just say things and pretend they're true. Everyone I know who took it said that they had all these like very leading questions about recast. Like, how would you feel if hypothetically we were to use recast?
Yeah, and I personally was like, bad. I would feel bad. Please don't.
Yeah, it would feel bad. And they heard you and they saw you and then they were like, cool, so we're gonna use recast. And I don't really get... Okay, so here's what I don't understand. Because it would be bad enough if it was just like recast and we understood what was happening. But it's the ISU, so of course we don't understand what's happening. It is incomprehensible. They're like, yes, we're gonna use recast, but only for like synchro and speed skating, which is not what I personally, I mean, no shade to them. I do love them as sports, but like, can you explain to me how this impacts me as a watcher of like artistic figure skating? And
the
also,
thing is, it doesn't, I think.
Really?
Yeah, because I think for America, I think you still get the rest of the skating on like Peacock,
on the cock,
and NBC, and like what on the cock, yeah. And then I personally come from an immense place of privilege, which is Eastern Europe, notably a place full of privilege, because I get everything on YouTube. I just get the live streams. Now rewatching things continues to be a nightmare, but I do get the ISU live streams because Bulgaria has not this year. Sanctioned, or I should say like licensed, any streaming, so I just get the official streams on YouTube, and that's nice.
Well, yeah, but and I should clarify that that's primarily what I'm talking about is the re-streaming, like re-watching replays, yeah. Anywhere, because they're not on Peacock. Even sometimes they like say they're going to and then they don't. It's really hard to find them on YouTube, even on the ISU. Even, like, fan things, like, it's just really hard to find. And the thing that they said about recast was, like, first of all, it's, like, a great way for, like, loved ones to be able to watch the competitions, which I'm like, fuck off. You're going to make someone's grandma navigate recast where you have to have, like, X amount of ad
points. I don't know what recast
to,
is.
Like, okay, I don't
Megan, I don't know what recast
either.
Is.
It is my understanding that it's, like, free-ish, where it's free if you do, like, a million, like... look at this ad and then answer this survey and like blah, blah, blah.
So it's not free because you're gamifying your time.
No, literally, it's like gamified, but also like you can just pay money to bypass that. So it's not free. And then also they're like, we will use the income from that to try and do better streaming. And I'm like, what? I don't understand. We're all like, your tickets are so expensive. And okay, I know Ticketmaster and all of the Ticketmaster adjacent Ticketmasters are super evil. But like, how do you not have the money for this? Where is it going? Did you buy Taffy Holiday a Porsche? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, it's like which MLM is the one with the pink cars?
Oh,
I'm not sure. One of the multi-level marketing things.
Sally Mae, which is not technically an MLM, but kind of Mary Kay, right?
Mary Kay, yes, that's
or
the
Avon.
One.
I Avon think, or Mary Kay? It's one of the makeup ones.
Avon does not have cars. Yeah, I think we're doing the same thing and getting every single judge and technical specialist a like a Porsche or like a Tesla or something.
I just don't understand, but whatever. It also, like, it makes me mad that whenever, like, whatever, we've been talking for years and years about how, like, whenever normies discover skating, the first thing they say is, like, why is no one there? And it's embarrassing as hell. And it just, like, the more I rewatch things in the little way that I am able to do, the more I see all these empty seats, and it pisses me off because I have been, like, at events where I have been like, okay, I wasn't able to get seats to this event and that event, but I got them to this one event and that's fine. I had to go through a million Reddit hoops, but whatever. And then I'll go home and watch a stream of the event that I couldn't get tickets to because it was sold out and like half the seats are empty. And I don't understand that either. Like, they're telling you these things are sold out and like no one's there. So I just, it's insane to me.
I wonder if it's a bunch of old people who buy tickets and then they don't go. I'm not saying that's like the predominant problem, but there are people in this world who will just like buy tickets for a thing and then just like not show up.
I think that is part of it, but I do not believe it can possibly be.
It's not all of it.
All of it, all over the world in every culture.
Was it our dear friend Andrew Torgashev? I think it was him who was talking about how what he would do would be like go to schools or like community centers in the area where the event is taking place and just like give out a bunch of free tickets so people get hooked.
Yeah, it's just funny, like working in the arts and the nonprofit sector as in my day job, like there are just meetings and meetings and hours and hours and hours of discussions with so many people about like how to get butts in the seats for things. And like, yeah. it's just really funny to see something where it's like, they just don't care. It's fine. Well, I would like to at least be able to behold it with my eyes. And that is my rant on that for this week.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with all of it. I will say, because as of time of recording, World's practices have started. And of course, Japanese audiences fucking show up every time. Even practice sessions have looked quite busy. So I'm very hopeful that we're going to get like a very good crowd for Worlds. And that's
a great
way to like wrap up the... I know we're not done with the season. I know it's one of those seasons where Worlds is not the end of the season, but it's like a good culmination, I think, would be if we get the good big audience.
Absolutely. And like, we know Saitama can deliver not only a sizable audience, but also a mascot that looks like a trash can. And I really hope they kept him around.
Oh,
I really
God.
Hope they didn't euthanize him after the last Saitama Worlds.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Well, that remains to be seen. Let's travel back in time a little bit. Travel back and up high altitude to Four Continents.
Four Continents, which was held in Colorado Springs, home of Broadmoor, not home of breathable air.
Yeah, I have no strong opinion about the altitude thing because obviously it fucks with people. Obviously, people who trained there or got to arrive earlier had a better chance of getting used to it and like getting what's it called when you get like...
Like acclimated?
Acclimated, that's the word. Thank you. I was going to say acclimatized, and I'm like, that's not a word. Yeah, getting acclimated. But it's also the case of, in the case of Four Continents this year, so many people are like, this is why this should never happen and blah, 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 blah. And I agree. It's unsettling to see people like visibly struggle to catch their breath. But there was a whole thing with Four Continents this year where it was supposed to be somewhere else and then that couldn't happen. And it was kind of a last minute solution for it to be in Colorado Springs. And I feel like a lot of the outcry was coming from people who think that organizing an event is as easy as being like, well, we have this patch of ice here and we're just gonna do the programs. And I personally have never organized an international figure skating event, but I'm sure it's harder than that. And there is like fewer arenas or like places that are willing to, especially on short notice, do that. So I feel like we should just like keep that in mind as well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think like regardless of whether they like should have anticipated that or not, I think the first sign that people are struggling to breathe, like I would be shocked. I mean, okay, I was going to say I would be shocked if they didn't have oxygen just around, like as a medical emergency thing. But then I remembered like the concussion protocol that doesn't exist. And so I was like, maybe they don't. But it doesn't seem like that hard to get some oxygen in there for the skaters. I'm not saying don't have it at Broadmoor. I mean, I live in the mountains too. I can't, you know, the air is what it is. But yeah, I was a little bit like, I don't know, get somebody a little oxygen mask, get a cute little oxygen mask in there. I don't know, people were mad at me on Twitter for implying that the athletes, like, I didn't even imply anything, actually. I just said, like, can someone explain to me how one gets, like, used to thinner air? Like, I have asthma and I live in the mountains. I want to know. And people got mad at me and they were like, there's plenty of training and the athletes know what they're doing and they know. And I'm thinking, first of all, you're telling me this takes several weeks. A lot of them got assigned to this competition last week.
Yeah.
You know, God forbid they have other things going on in their life. A lot of them are students, whatever. And like, also that sounds expensive to have all that equipment. And I don't know, man. I just like, it makes me mad. The attitude of like, well, the skaters should have known and they should have done better. And I'm like, I don't know. Were you responsible when you were like 19? I wasn't. I was like getting drunk and dating the world's worst dudes. Like, I couldn't have been trusted to. I feel like
it's both though, because you were also not a professional athlete. And I'm not taking the stance of they should have known and prepared for that. But I feel like if you know that a huge part of your sport, for better or worse, involves like traveling a bunch and coping with different conditions and jet lag and all of that, I feel like there is something to be said about physical and mental training about it. Because like, Lord knows I couldn't do it. Like, just traveling around all that, like, so much and having to deal with like time zones and everything would fuck me up, not even thinking about the air. But I don't know, man. I feel like there's some training that can be done. Like, surely people who do actual outdoor winter sports like skiing and shit do something to train for it. Because they go on mountains all the time. Like,
that's true. I should ask anybody that I'm just being stupid in my life.
Like, yeah, people surely can train for being, like, people train for being in space. Like, there must be something, but I don't know what it is, and I'm not gonna venture a guess, because someone will yell at me in reviews, so I'm not gonna.
Yeah, well, that's my question, is, like, is it as insanely complicated and expensive as training for being in space, or is it something that, like, somebody who's, like, also a high school student and, you know, has to crowdfund their training could also potentially do if they find out that they only have a week to prepare? Like, I'm not sure. I genuinely don't know. I it's also hard for me to believe that anyone can do any exercise at any elevation without hyperventilating, because I have the asthmas. So that's, I'm biased in,
yeah,
I'm,
well,
biased
I
in
have
that I can't ever breathe.
2 year long COVID, but the other thing, and this is going to sound like I'm so stupid right now, but people do live there. Like, I guess if you're living up there in Colorado Springs, you're not just like out of breath all the time, right?
No, I think that it is a thing with like high altitude competitions where the people who are used to it, and even the people like who are coming from like Chambéry or whatever, like there, if you're used to it, it doesn't bother you as much. And so, like, you do see a difference with people who are, like, training in the mountains versus not. So I think you can get used to it. But I think it's, like, if you haven't been training in high altitude, yeah, it's, like, the adjustment that gets you. I'm not sure. This is, like, us just talking about things we don't know for 20 minutes. So maybe we should talk about skating. But I just wanted to mention that.
Let's talk about skating.
Also, like, the ISU's response was so funny. They were like, we're gonna start this new thing where we respond like a fun brand. And our first tweet doing this is going to be, well, yeah, so no one can ever say figure skating's not a sport, right? And it was so tone deaf. It was so funny.
Yeah, that's not the move. Figure skating is hard, and I don't think we need to see people, like, struggling to know that. Anyway, let's talk about figure skating, because a bunch of it happened, and we're just talking about things that we don't know about.
We're talking about science that we're not experts on.
Yeah, very much
in third place in the men's competition with the bronze medal was Shun Sato of Japan.
Oh my god. Yeah. It was a journey. It was a bit of a journey. It's men's figure skating, so he ended up with a medal. His short was not the best he's ever had. And then the free was so fucking good. I continue to be obsessed with Carol of the Bells as a music choice, which is his short.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. My thing with Shun Sato is just that his PCS was too low. It just felt really low to me. I think a lot of the scores were a little bit low across the board for everybody.
Yeah.
Which we can talk about. But I don't know. I don't think his PCS deserves to be that low. I think that there are skaters who have juniors' hands, and I don't think he's one of them. I think he's, like, really bringing his whole, oh god, don't say it, Megan. I was gonna say, like, his whole satoshi. Don't say that, Megan.
His whole shissy.
It's not even his whole shissy. It's not even funny anymore. It's not even in the zeitgeist anymore. He was bringing all of his drama and his artistry in a way that I appreciated. So I didn't see the, like, PCS and the sixes, sevens, like,
yeah, I feel like, here's my thing, and this is not about Shun in particular, but it's about the general sport of figure skating. If we're seeing competitive figure skating on the international senior level, you had better be possessed by a ghost of a person who's never skated in their life to be getting, like, sixes. I can understand sevens. Like, sevens, like, low eights, I can very much understand. But it's insane to me that the multi-level marketing scheme that is the judging panel can look at anyone on this level and be like, yeah, that's a five.
Yeah, and to be fair, I could be talking out of my ass. I vaguely remember him getting, like, a 6.75 on something, but maybe he didn't. And so don't come for me if he did get everything in sevens. I still thought sevens were too low for him.
Yeah, that's too low for, like, a person who's, like, medaled internationally a bunch of times and is, like, undeniably a top-level athlete. I think it's just something insane has to happen to warrant, like, low sevens or whatever.
Yeah, It was very odd to me. I didn't really see it. He did go on to win the Challenge Cup.
Hell yeah,
weeks later. Did. Good for him. And he himself said, like, not bad for a kid who was in the hospital this time last year.
Oh my god, yeah.
So big journey.
Big journey. One of those cinematic story arcs. I'm very proud of him. And I get sad thinking about him in the hospital last year. It makes me upset. And I'm very proud of him for persevering and returning this season, like, so big.
Yeah. And speaking of cinematic story arcs,
oh my
in
God,
second Megan. Place yes. with the silver medal, Keegan Messing of Canada.
I literally cannot, like, I heard his name and I'm tearing up, is where I'm at emotionally. In the interest of, you know, Worlds is almost happening and all of that, we've been getting practice tweets, and Jackie tweeted something and was like, the audience is, like, really enjoying Keegan's last Worlds practices. And I was like, you shut your mouth.
You shut your whore mouth, Jackie.
I am so upset. I'm fully prepared to be sobbing my eyes out regardless of how he does at Worlds. Oh my god. I know his season is not done, but I miss him so much already.
It's hilarious, like straight up, like hilarious to me that we're all like, oh my God, it's his last Worlds, and we're all crying. And like the whole reason he stayed for one extra season is to go to fucking World Team Trophy. So it's not even his last event.
Yeah, I respect him and I hope he carries the world's biggest fucking flag at World Team Trophy. But I'm just, it's been the case since last season, but anytime I see him take the ice, I'm like, oh my God, this is it. This is one of the last ones. And I just get so sad.
Yeah. So we should talk about his programs. His short program is Grace Kelly, which continues to be like the weirdest choice ever. And I love it.
I'm obsessed with it.
And his free skate is the Philip Phillips home.
Oh, yeah, it is.
It sure is. So he had a fall in the short. It was like extraordinarily chaotic. He still ended up second in the short with that fall. So here's where the judging got truly unhinged for me, was in the short program. Judge two, like, was just being really, like, Canada-phobic or something. I don't know who judge two was. I need to know why they gave him a two on his step sequence when two other judges gave him fives. And then the same judge gave him a zero on his combo spin, and he was getting mostly fours and fives from the other judges. Like, what is happening?
I wonder if they weren't watching.
Like, what happened? Is it a typo? How is this possible?
I see, this is where things get confusing, and there is smarter people who do actual analysis of this shit who can help us out here. Skating scores, everyone else, please help. I feel like sometimes there is one judge who is so like out of the loop of the rest of them that it's like the dissonance is weird, right? Because if the judging is kind of like split, like if two of the judges hate it and like three of the judges are like, this is good, I can understand that. When it's like the majority of them kind of agreeing and then one person who just like looks like they've seen a different program, it's very like interesting to me when that starts happening.
I wonder if it's like one of the judges is an AI that they're trying to train and it's just not good yet.
God, please don't say that. I hate that future.
No, I do too.
They have like 17 fingers for entering like technical controller shit.
Yeah, they're like, this skater didn't have enough teeth. 0 points.
This skater's fucking hands are confusing. Plus 17.
I don't know.
Oh my God.
I will say, I would love a dramatic biopic of Keegan Messing. We talk a lot about the hypothetical Shoma Uno biopic. How about a Keegan Messing one? I think it could be really Oscar bait because I think it could do really well with gays because it's figure skating. And then the other gender, like conservative woods people, because it's going to have a winter's bone hillbilly elegy, like some people in the woods living off the grid moment.
Like backflipping and hockey skates in your backyard in Alaska.
Yeah, and it's like a sports, it's just like,
I was going to say the only way I want to see this movie is in the style of like a mid-80s sports like drama.
I could see that. Like, we need like some of that cutting edge feeling to it.
Yes, exactly.
I was thinking who would play Keegan. Now, granted, this sent me on a spiral of how there actually like are not a lot of working like mixed white Asian actors today, which is like fucked up. But I was like, who could play Keegan? And then I was thinking, what about fucking Josh Chan from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend?
Brain is so fucking big.
He's got that like squirt muscular dancerly thing and like a $1 million smile. Like, don't you think?
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God.
His name's Vincent Rodriguez III. I don't know why I like didn't say
it. It is. And I have Googled him just to like look at him. And there are so many pictures of this man's abs on the internet.
And same with Keegan Messing. Like, we would have a scene in the movie where Vincent Rodriguez III is doing Tarzan, and get, like, the horny mom demo. Like, I swear to God, we got to produce this. This is going to be how we make our money.
This is how we win an Oscar. This is how we become the first podcast with an Oscar for Best Feature Film.
Yeah, we're gonna do it, man. We're gonna break ground. Speaking of breaking ground, Keegan got a new personal best in the short and the overall.
Like, I'm so proud of him.
Penultimate big boy competition. to be like going out on top. Come on.
It is a dream trajectory. He is a father of two now, and he is so fucking good. And he's been so candid about like how his love for the sport has not changed. And he's just like, it's very hard to also be a dad. And I love him and respect him for that so much. And I'm just very emotional about the whole thing. God.
Yeah. Specific moments in his program that stood out to me, like I love the like choreographic skid spiral. It's like toward the beginning of the free skate. It's just in there and it's huge and he makes it look so easy. His like gigantic death drop. Just like the smile on his face after he landed his last jump. That's kind of a theme in like things I loved about people's skates from this performance was this sense of like, oh, thank God, after the last jump. But
yeah, it is not a good Keegan Messing program unless I'm questioning what sort of chaotic good deity is watching over me as it happens. Like, yeah, it like has to be a little bit unhinged.
Yeah, there's always something where you're like, how does gravity work? I don't know.
Yeah, it's like he's just flinging himself into some sort of leap of faith. And we're just here to watch it happen. And I love him so much.
And that is fine. And in first place with the gold medal is Kao Miura of Japan.
Sure is. My God.
Yeah. So to quote friend of the show, Jules, sending Kao to Junior Worlds after he won four continents would be like sending Dua Lipa to Eurovision.
Which, I mean, why wouldn't you? If you have a Dua Lipa in your area. Country's arsenal, in your area, in your country's arsenal.
And she wants to talk to you.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you let her talk to you?
I think, like, coming back to this after seeing him at Junior Worlds, he did seem steadier at Junior Worlds. Yeah. I do think that sending him to Junior and not Senior Worlds was the right move.
Yeah, I agree.
I think his skating is a little tiny bit junior. Like, he has junior hands a little bit. Like, I think if you just watch hands, like, I don't know, Shinsato's got a little more maturity there. So I do think in a deep field like Japan, like, yeah, sending Kao to juniors was the right move.
Makes sense. Yeah, I agree with it. And also, we talked more about this on Patreon, where we did talk about Junior Worlds. That's patreon.com/ICTpod. I am excited about seeing good juniors. I think it's way more interesting when it's not like the door you have to open to be seen in the senior field, because so many people are very, very good in the junior field. And I just think it's more exciting if we let them develop there instead of just like flinging every person with potential straight into seniors, you know?
Yeah, let juniors be good. I stand by this.
If we ever do merge, it's going to be let juniors be good.
Hell yeah. All right. Honorable mentions?
Hell yeah.
We got to shout out Jami.
Friend of the pod. The reason this podcast exists, Jimmy Ma.
The reason this podcast exists, Jimmy Ma.
Like, who, literally.
Yeah, and he, like, third place in the short. Small medal.
He was so fucking hyped for it. I'm obsessed with his trajectory this season because he keeps showing up. He keeps being very good. And he keeps being so fucking excited about it. And I love that energy so very much.
Yeah, I do think that, like, I don't know if just anybody could carry it off, but there's something really special about Jimmy Ma bringing an energy to the sport of figure skating, of like tearing phone books in half, like
full like Captain America ripping the log.
No, specifically, yeah, exactly. And then it's like, is he gonna go out and like set a car on fire? Like, I don't know. We don't know. Do we have to grease the telephone poles because Jimmy Ma is proud of himself? Like, I love that we're bringing some of that hooligan energy to this sport.
I'm very excited about it. As a person who, on all levels except physical, would like to riot in the streets like a soccer fan anytime figure skating goes the way I want it to go, I find it deeply relatable, and it's the representation I personally, as a European who loves to set shit on fire, need to be seeing. Yeah, I'm a fan. I love him.
Yeah, I mean, you hate to see him fall apart in the free that way.
Hey, it's fine. He'll get it. One day, both of them are going to be great, and it's gonna be great.
Yeah, and then you'll see. Then everyone will see. Everyone will realize. Also, Junwon Cha kind of reversed. He did a reverse Jami, as we call it, where, like, bad short, much better free, but, like, not quite enough.
It's men's figure skating, man. One day we're going to get all of the boys skating both programs just good enough. And that's going to be thrilling because it's always like, oh my God, this is a revelation. And then the rest of it falls apart. And that is the charm of men's figure skating. But one day it's going to be... One day everyone's going to show up for both events. And then you will realize...
You know, figure skating is weird because it just occurred to me, like, in the most simplistic sense, it's not even really a sport about, like, doing the hardest things on earth. It's kind of more a sport about doing the hardest things on earth twice in a row, both times good.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like, what if you only got to say you won a basketball game if you did two games and you won both of them?
Oh, man. The way we score different sports is so confusing to me because, for example, in rhythmic gymnastics, right, there are so many different events. So if, like, a World Cup of some sort is happening, first of all of the events are called a World Cup of something. So I never know when Worlds is because it's a bunch of worlds. But also there are so many
Worlds,
like,
theory.
Yeah, it's deeply the many worlds theory. But also there is... like, the different disciplines, but it's the same people competing. So, like, one person could walk away with, like, 5 gold medals. And I'm like, we don't get that in figure skating. But also, you're right. On the other hand side, to win a basketball game, you need to win one of them. So it's like, I don't know. It's interesting how disciplines work out and how different events work out. I guess that's why we have the small medals, but we just kind of, like, don't pay attention to them.
I wish we paid more attention to the small medals.
Yeah. Because I feel like in, like, if I'm using gymnastics as kind of a comparative thing, every single thing gets, like, talked about. Like, in Bulgarian, like, sports media, because we have a very good, like, rhythmic gymnastics culture and a great team and all of that. Anytime any of them medal anywhere about anything, we hear about it. And I feel like we need to bring more of this energy. And, like, anytime anyone's in the top 3, at any point, we gotta, like, be hype about it.
I want, like, a my son is an honor student bumper sticker, but it's, like, my adult son, Jimmy Ma, won a bronze small medal at 4 Continents 2023. My adult son, who's, like, 6 years younger than me.
And all I got was this bumper sticker.
Oh God.
Let's talk about women.
Let's talk about women. In third place with the bronze medal is Monet Chiba of Japan.
Yet another example of how I'm so excited for the future. I'm very excited for the future. There's so many like younger skaters who are so fucking good.
Yeah, and it's like, her technique is there. Yes. Her skating skills are there. Her fashion sense is there. The butterfly lovers dress. I love how we as a society have sort of decided that butterfly lovers is pink and purple.
Just, it is.
Because it just is.
It has to be. I mean, it's about love, you know? It's full Valentine's Day of fantasy. Like, you hear the word lovers and you're like, oh, it's going to be, like, pretty, like, pinks and purples and hearts. And I'm not mad at it.
They should add some blue and make it, like, a bi flag official thing because that's kind of a queerish story, but, you know, whatever. We can't have everything.
It's fine. We can imagine because, like, the pinks, the shades of pink are very, like, lesbian flags. So, you know, who knows?
That's true. Yeah. Remember the other day, I forget what the context was, but we were hanging out with our friend Jamie, and who you may know from our other podcast, Quest Laid Plans. And they said butterfly enemies to lovers. And I was like, oh, my God. I've been laughing about it for weeks.
Butterfly enemies to lovers is another very strong contender for a bumper sticker and or a T-shirt that we could sell.
Yes.
But it's formatted the way an archive of her own tag would be, with like the little hyperlink underline.
Do you think they own the like IP of that like graphic
of what of visual? Hyperlinks? No.
No, but like of the visual format of the way that fanfiction tags are on their website. Like, do you think you could make money off of that?
I feel like
a visual gag on that.
I feel like if it's a different font but similar enough, it's fine. And also, I donate to the archive, so I feel like I'm allowed.
You've donated to the archive? My God, you are truly
with me. I've donated to the archive.
You're keeping the world alive. I always wonder, like, who donates to Wikipedia? But, like,
I've never donated to Wikipedia, but I have donated to Archive of Our Own because I care about our cultural legacy and the maintenance and longevity of the Queer Library of Alexandria, which is archiveofourown.org.
Of course. Absolutely. So I want to talk about how...
Yeah, donate to Patreon so I can have cash money to spend on fun things. God, yeah, I'm kidding.
For real. Monet Sheba is extremely flexible in a way that I find crazy impressive. Because she can do the Jason Brown, like, rotating your hip 900 degrees and making it look easy spiral. And how about her little, like, donut spin into a layback...
It's crazy.
...hair cutter moment. It's absolutely insane. I, like, gasped.
Yeah, it's not just the flexibility, but it's, like, the being, like, innovative and, like, experimental with it that I'm a very big fan of. I think it's super fun.
Yeah, and, like, specifically, I think that if you're trying to be innovative with flexibility, you have to be really careful not to take it to, like, an uncanny valley place, because I think that, like, for example, like, a lot of the Sambo girls are like, look how flexible I am, and then it's like, ooh, I don't want to see a body do that.
That is for the one AI judge. They just want to see some representation.
Yeah, like, Monet Sheba does wicked impressive things with her body, but they're still beautiful, and at no point do I feel upset about my own mortality, because I've been reminded that the human body can move in ways that I'm not used to.
Yeah, it's very exciting and fun to watch.
I do think that one thing that Monet could work on would be her hands. They're a little stiff, and I think she should take a master class from the silver medalist Kim Yeol Im of Republic of Korea, who has the most beautiful hands.
She is so gorgeous. She's one of those skaters that I've really gone on a journey with. I'm not always a fan of hers. And she's always so freaking good. So I'm not sure why I sometimes have trouble with it. But this season, man, she's like fully won me over. I still stand by what I said like very early on in the season. I'm not sold on either of those programs.
Me neither, for sure. I mean, like,
they don't do anything for me. Like, I don't.
Yeah. I think I don't really like Max Richter. I think that there are certain skaters who can do Max Richter programs fairly well. Like, I think Brittany Tennell did fairly well with hers. And I think Yeol Im actually does a good job with it. Like, as I think she skates to this music as well as it can be skated to, which I don't think is like a super high bar. But I've been on a journey with her too, and this was the first competition where I think I've been able to really articulate sort of what that is.
Okay.
Which is that I think that she has like tons and tons and tons of like precision and control and specificity with her movement. Mm-hmm. And I tend to gravitate towards skaters who are like really bombastic and wild and chaotic and dramatic and just like all over the place. And so if that's the kind of fan you are, you can look at a Kim Yeol Im and be like, well, she's not doing enough. But like, it takes a really close watch to realize that she's doing so much. It's just tiny and she's making it look easy. It's almost like Yuzuru Hanyu, like, in a way. Like, not that he wasn't doing the most, but like all the little precise detailed movements.
Like the micro elements of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, you might be right. I need to watch her skate again, keeping that in mind now, because you might be onto something.
Also, watch her exhibition if you haven't already. It's really cute. She just skates in, like, it's, is there a song called, like, The Good Part or The Best Part? It's, like, Skip to the Good Part or something. Can we skip to the good part?
Yeah, it's, yeah. Yes. That song makes me cry because people used to use it on TikTok for, like, showing how their life, like, was sad or something, and then can we skip to the good part? And they would show like a little montage of like their friends or like a fun trip or something. So I've been like classically conditioned to just cry when I see this now.
You should watch her exhibition of it. It's very like joyful and young at, in a way that,
oh, I
like,
love that.
Also really won me over. And she skates it in just like a big giant oversized white Oxford
pants. I have
and
seen
pants.
That. Yes.
Yeah, it's cute. And like you kind of expect her to like take it off at some point and she doesn't. And it's like slay. I love it.
It's like reverse burlesque. It's burlesque where it's just about the keeping up anticipation in the audience and not releasing it.
That's art.
I love art.
I do want to know, again, with the judging, someone gave her a 7.75 on skating skills in her short program. Like, have you seen her Ina Bauer? Like,
see, that's the thing where I'm like, how? Like, who do you want to be doing this so that you would score it higher? Like, what are you looking for?
Yeah, like, how do you see someone with that Ina Bauer? And
one
be
of
like,
the Ina Bauers of all time.
Yeah, seriously. Like, and be like, I'll give her like a C plus.
I, like, what do you expect? It's the same thing as like fucking like Jason Brown not getting like getting nines in skating skills. It's who are you waiting for? What are you wanting to see? And I'm not saying that to be like contrary, like contrarian. Wow, I don't know words today. Like, literally, who are they expecting to see instead, and what are they waiting for? Because, like, higher scores to many people. It's not like you only get 1.9 that you have to, like, give to one person.
Seriously, it's very odd, and, like, I don't know, like, not to be blasphemous around Easter, but I feel like Jesus Christ himself could not do an Ina Bauer like that. I feel pretty confident saying that.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Jesus was, like, particularly skilled in the figure skating realm.
Yeah, don't at me, but I just feel like I don't know if we have any proof that Jesus was a figure skater. I know that's controversial.
This is the hottest Bible take of the week, is we're not sure if Jesus Christ could figure skate.
I don't know what the ice rink situation was in, like, Nazareth or whatever. I'm not sure.
Do we think that Jesus could make his own figure skating rink?
Do you think... Well, we know he could make water, but did he have, like, freezing powers?
Was Jesus Elsa from Frozen?
I don't know. If you're, like, really Christian and you know the answer and or a Disney adult, let us know. Was Jesus Elsa from Frozen? Yes,
like,
or
do
no?
Do they share a skill set? Are they the same class, if you will, if you're a TTRPG person?
Dan Brown is listening right now and being, like, scribbling furiously. Like, I'm going to write a book about how Elsa and Jesus are related and they share DNA.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's the same picture. It's the same person.
Tom Hanks is going to make a meal out of that one.
Olaf dies and then comes back 3 days later in Frozen 2. I don't fucking know, girl. Should we talk about our gold medalist?
We should. Our gold medalist is Lee Haeun, also from the Republic of Korea.
Hell yeah. I love her very much. I hate both of her programs. Probably
Dude,
as much.
Dude, same. I hate them more than I hate Yelim's because...
Yeah. Because Yelim's are just boring to me. With Haeun's, like, both of them, I just don't like. Like, I actually have strong feelings about how much I don't like them.
Yeah, and, like, the short program is composed by Eric Radford, who we don't like.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck this man.
Fuck this man. And I do love the dress for the short program.
Yeah, we've talked about this. Korean figure skaters do dresses in a way that no one else does. It's just a different approach to wearing a dress. And regardless of what it is, it's always, like, so recognizable and cool. And yes, and that costume is gorgeous. But, like, meh, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, like, to contrast Haeun with Yelim, I think that she has more of, like, a freedom and a grandiosity with her skating, but doesn't quite have the same precision. Anyway, the short program, she got an edge call on the flip. She got a quarter under rotation on the combo, and she ended up in sixth. But that short program, the scores at the end of that short program were like, I really cannot think of a competition or like a segment of a competition where things were that close. Like,
yeah.
Sixth, fifth, fourth were her, Brady, Amber. I forget if in that order, but it was the three of them, and they were all like 69 point something. Nice. It was so close.
It was going from the short into this free skate was one of those wild experiences of figure skating where I was like, truly anything could happen. And I always love that. I love when half of the event has happened and it's still kind of up for grabs. It's very exciting for me.
Yeah, I like it when half of the event has happened and it's somehow more up for grabs than it was before it started.
Yeah. Yeah, it's when you've kind of seen where everyone's at this particular event. Because, like, and we're about to kind of talk a little bit about worlds and predictions. You can try to predict based on, like, previous performances and the season overall and all of that, but you never know where someone's at until you see the short. Like, I usually don't know where someone's at until, like, halfway through a short program. And it's, like, very exciting when that is the case.
Hell yeah. Hanley's was also another example of just, like, absolute joy after finishing her last jump. I just, like, loved her little, like, I forget if this was somebody at one point, like, just screamed out in happiness. And I forget if it was this competition or not, but let alone if it was her. But it had that energy of, like, yes. And I just, at the step sequence after that was revelatory. Just absolutely loved it. I don't love Phantom of the Opera, but, like, who cares?
Yeah, the thing is, I don't love Phantom of the Opera until it's happening to me. And then until I vibe.
Until a phantom is actually giving you free voice lessons and you're like, oh.
Yeah, until I'm being like ferried on a boat with a man in a mask and I'm like, whoa, shit, I might as well see if there is anything in them old lungs.
Yeah, I think, you know, as a voice teacher, I do think that it's
Person of phantom experience.
No, as a voice teacher, it's a little frustrating to me that there are people out there who are setting the precedent of, like, I will give you a free voice lesson and I will work at weird hours. It's, like, not good for the labor aspect for the rest of us who want to just, like, be paid and work normal hours and not be, like, kidnapping people and bringing them into sewers. Like, I don't know. I just think that it's, like, he's not, like, an ally in that way, the phantom. Ally.
No, he's not. But also, he is the phantom from Phantom of the Opera an insult? Please discuss.
Oh, man. That's a rough one, dude.
Because, like, his whole thing is, like, he sees this girl. She's never, like, talked to him. And he's like, oh, no, she's, like, dating this other dude. I will now go do sabotage and minor domestic terrorism about it.
And he pretends to be her dad's ghost, which is, like, I don't fucked even know up. If that's incel. That's just, like, bad person
behavior. It's just psychotic behavior. But he's, like, insecure, and he has his things. And if you, like, try to complain about how he's creepy, he's just gonna be like, oh, so you hate me because of, like, this thing that I have? And it's like, bestie, no, you kidnapped a bitch.
Yeah, man, what a weird musical.
It's batshit, man. It's not, and the thing is, it's not even Lloyd Webber's worst.
Yeah, Annie's about to do the coronation music, which is hysterical to me.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I feel like no one else wanted to.
No, for real. I am upset they didn't ask Meghan Trainor. I think she should have done her horrible I Am Your Mother song, like, oh, as God, the no. Queen's ghost. No. I think that would have been funny.
No, I hate that. They should have just let the cast of Six, the musical, perform.
They probably didn't want to either, but oh, I'm sure they didn't.
Yeah, one of the I'm not sure if they're still in the cast, but I know that one of the performers who played one of the many wives, one of the six wives in Six, was a non-binary performer, which is very cool.
That is very cool.
Just fucking up some historical jukeboxy shit. I don't know Six very well. Anyway, should we do a very quick honorable women?
We should. Speaking of LGBTQs, Amber Glenn fucked that shit up. She was great.
Amber Glenn, light of my life. I'm thrilled for her. I feel like she's had a very good trajectory. I continue to be very worried about her being very self-critical all the time. But I'm sure she's dealing with it and talking to the people necessary to, you know, to keep her relationship with the sport good and fun.
Yeah, and I want to clarify, when I say she fucked that shit up, I mean, like, in a good way, and not, like, in a she-made-a-mistake way.
No, no, no. You said, speaking of queer people, she fucked that shit up, and we know what that means.
Well, you know what that means, but I think some of our listeners are confused when swears happen there. They go red in the eyes, and they get upset. So, had to clarify. But, I'm really excited to see Amber at Worlds. I don't know. I'm not sure, based on her practice notes, if she's going to do the triple axel. I have mixed feelings about it. I do think that it's, like, safer to not do it and that she could totally get away with it. She doesn't need it. But also, I understand, like, if you're not sure if this is the only time you're ever going to go to Worlds again, like, you kind of do want to leave it all on the table. So whatever she decides, I don't know.
I think it's one of those things where I think, let's see how the short goes. And react accordingly. And by that I mean, if the short is weaker than she would have liked, then go balls to the wall and risk the axel just for funsies in the free. And then if the short is good, then you gotta risk the I just want to see the axel. I can't believe I'm saying it. I'm for once pro risking the big jump, just because a world in which Amber Glenn lands the triple axel at Worlds, I will be streaking down the street if this happens.
Yeah, I will lose my shit. Jimmy Ma will be setting cars on fire.
Myself and her actual friend, Jimmy Ma, will be starting a riot. I will be turning a car over. It's going to be a whole thing. World is very much happening during work hours for me. So I will be, like, flipping over my desk at work and, like, running into the street. And it's going to be great.
Yeah, exactly. Also want to mention Isabeau, because she did very well in the short and then she had to withdraw because she was sick.
And that was like a moment. Like, I don't want to editorialize, but it was crazy when, like, the free skate warm-up was happening and she was just not there. And I don't think anyone was told about it because Voice of a Generation, Amber Glenn, got off the ice after the warm-up. I was like, what the fuck is happening? Which I think is so valid as a response to just, like, anything going on.
Yes, absolutely. I hope that Isabeau is feeling better. Yeah. And I don't know. I think the drama around it was, like, the last minuteness of it, which, like, I kind of get as somebody who, like, had some medical problems over the past couple months and had to, like, take time off work. And it was always like, are you going to come in this week? I don't know if I'm going to be better. And it's always like, you want to be better, but then, like, are you actually better? Leaving it to the last minute, like, I can relate to that, because, like, you want to really see if you can maybe pull it out. But it does make things spicy for Worlds, because we don't know, you know, what kind of shape she's in these days. I don't mean like physically fit. Obviously she's very physically fit, but I mean, you know,
just like health-wise,
yeah,
training-wise, like, we don't know, and I am not gonna try to, like, guess, but it was a bit of a moment, and I hope she's fine.
Me too.
Like, completely maybe divorcing, like, her versus anyone else from, like, this entire situation, could have been anyone. I just think there's something so spicy about, like, those 6 minutes of, like, what is going on? It was giving Ice Princess. It was, like, very high drama in a way that I think outsiders of the sport think that the sport is like. So I was just kind of, I wasn't enjoying it, but it was, like, a riveting little moment, you know?
No, exactly. And the reason I think it was giving, like, ice skating movie is because that's what people think it's like if you don't actually watch it. Like, they think that happens all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, they think people are having, like, big, profound moments in the dressing room. And then they're like, oh, no, the thing is going on already. Let me run onto the ice and do my thing. Like, which is not really how it happens. Because, again, organizing an event is hard and there is a lot of people making sure that everyone's where they're supposed to be. But I feel like that was, like, the movie
of it all was the, oh, wow, like, how is this happening?
Yeah, totally. Also want to shout out Brady Tennell, Rinka Watanabe, Chaeyoung Kim. Yes. The women were just spectacular across the board.
It was such an event, and it makes me so excited for Worlds. Like, there's so many women. There are so many women.
There are so many women. Let's talk about Worlds. Let's talk about if we have any predictions. Women, men, anybody.
I don't know if I have any spicy predictions. I think my predictions are pretty up there with what everyone's kind of expecting. I'm just very excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that for men, I would be really surprised if it wasn't like Shoma Ilya 1-2.
Yeah.
In that order. Like, I would be really surprised. I think
that's what has to happen. Like, emotionally, that's what I need to happen.
No, me too. And I think the judges and the audience and, like, basically everybody are all kind of on the same page that, like, Shoma should win over Ilya based on, like, the whole package. Yeah.
Sorry, but everything.
Yeah. And so I think unless something crazy happens, like, somebody doesn't perform their best.
Yeah. Which we never know. Like, it could be, we've seen people fall apart in all sorts of ways. So we never know.
Yeah. And then with women, I'm genuinely not sure. I'm genuinely not sure, but it's like 50-50 Kaori Mai for me. It could go either way. I don't know.
I really want Kaori to defend her title. We all know I adore Mai. Like, we know that. I, again, am looking for a reason to go kick a car's windows in and, like, loot a corner store. And I need Kaori to defend her title because I will be... Oh, it would just mean so much to me as an admirer of women, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see it too. And honestly, okay, so the thing is, I think if they both perform their best, Kaori will win.
Yeah.
And I want to see that because as a spectator of figure skating who loves watching figure skating, I want to see Kaori skate her best because it's like the best figure skating.
Because it's a gift.
It's the best skating you can see right now. Like, I want to see it.
Yeah.
That said, like, Mai deserves it too, and it would be fun if she won a world title after everything, but yeah. And she would certainly deserve it as well. I mean, the two of them are just the best, so either way, both
and
of them on the podium.
Bronzes for both men and women could go so many ways.
Yeah, and I don't know if I have, like, really strong feelings about it either way. Like, I think there are skaters who I think are slightly overrated, overscored, who if they were to get bronze, I wouldn't want it to be over a skater who I thought did better. Like, yeah. This is my extremely controversial take, is that I would like the person who gets bronze to have done the third best and not get it over someone else who was better and didn't get a medal. Is that crazy or what?
Yeah, what a take. My personal desire, and I don't know if it's going to happen, is we have Alexander Zlatkov representing Bulgaria. He ended up like dead last at fucking Junior Worlds or whatever he did before this. I would love for the Bulgarian men, the one man we have, to not be dead last, is like my personal trajectory that I'm looking at. And I feel like he might end up there. But I would very much enjoy if he pulled it off.
Yeah, you never know. And it's fun to have these, like, lower stakes side bets, like side quests that aren't about the podium.
Yeah, I would love for my girl Alexandra Fagan to do fine. She's been, like, her social media presence has been super fun because she has been enjoying her journey and her trip to Worlds, which has been fun. I don't know if I have other, like, micro things. Obviously, I would love for Jason to do the best he possibly could, because again, like Kaori, if he does his best, it is the best skating we could possibly see.
Right, and I don't know where to put my expectations for that, because, like, yes, he was obviously spectacular at Nationals, but also, like, that was his first competition of the year, so I just feel like I don't have enough information to, like, make an informed expectation of it, but, like, whatever he does is going to be stunning, and that's going to be a treat, too. And I think my other, like, side bet is that regardless of whether it gets her on the podium or not, I really want to see Rinka Watanabe put out two skates that she's really proud of, because I just like fell in love with her during the Grand Prix series. And then after, like, she just couldn't keep it together. And then it was the question of, will she even be like named to international teams? Her going to Worlds is a big risk for Japan. I think it's a smart one, but I would love to see her, you know, really turn it out and prove like why she's been a huge deal on this team this season.
Agreed. Yeah, and honestly, like, scrolling down the entry lists for both men and women, I would be thrilled for most people to do their best. There are some things that I'm watching where I'm like, I feel like there is some karma coming your way, but that's just my personal shit.
It would be funny if Morrissey did really bad again.
I would love to see... if Morrissey would continue his trajectory of the season, that would make me personally happy. He is my ex-boyfriend, so I'm allowed to gloat a little. For newer listeners, that's a fucking joke. It's a whole bit. I've been in the same room with this man twice in my life. I just need to clarify.
Yeah, we've never dated any skaters, and we're also, like, none of them are literally our sons. None of them are our literal sons,
but this, my Georgian boyfriend was never my literal boyfriend. And on that same note, I'm sorry, but I am watching Brasso really, really closely, because I don't want to bully a barely adult man. I don't want to bully anyone. But he's been making some questionable choices. And he was also like, yeah, my mental health wasn't great, so I needed a change of pace, which I respect so much. But his change of pace was going to fucking Sambo, which is, like, the world's worst place to go for your mental health.
That's like being like, oh, yeah, like, I just was feeling kind of physically shitty overall, so I took up smoking.
It is. So I'm just like watching. I'm not wishing him. I've seen some people on the internet have way meaner takes than what I'm saying here. I'm not wishing him anything bad. I'm just watching him and hoping he comes to his senses.
Yeah, I'm wishing him a very pleasant get the fuck out of Sambo 70. And I hope that here's my wish for Morrissey. And I hope this isn't too mean. I want my experience of watching him skate his programs to be as funny as possible and without him sustaining lasting mental or physical harm from that.
Yeah, I just want it to be funny. I think that's the note I want to end this on. I just want this to be funny. No, but in all seriousness, I'm very excited for Worlds. This is a year where truly so many things could happen, and I would be at peace with most of them. And I can't wait. Like, I'm genuinely very excited to watch it happen.
You know what I want to happen?
What?
I want a Terry to slip and fall on a banana peel. Wouldn't that be great?
With, like, circus music in the back? Yeah.
She has enough hair that I feel like she wouldn't even really get hurt. Like, her head would be cushion protected.
It for sure.
Yeah, like the girl who passed out on Top Model, but her weave saved her. It would be, like, that situation.
Yes.
But I just think, like, more pratfalls of bad people.
Yeah, I feel like the world could benefit from seeing that happen. I think this is it.
I think so, too. So we will see you very soon for Worlds.
We will see you so, so, so soon for Worlds on our social media. And if that falls apart, you can find us on our website. But if social media does continue to exist, Megan, where can people find you?
People can find me at Megan Kelleher 3 on Twitter. What about you, Netta?
I'm at Netta Marie, and that's N-E-D-A, and then just Marie on Twitter and Instagram. And you can find both of us at IcedTPod on Twitter, where we will be live tweeting until the clown car crashes completely. And IcedTPod.com for the emergency newsletter, if it comes to that.
Yeah, and just as a final reminder, you can always support us on Patreon. That's Iced Tea Pod. Nope, that's not. It's patreon.com/IcedTeaPod, and you can join the ranks of the most wonderful people on earth, who include Vicky, Laura, Ice Tiefling, T, Pancake Stack, Christine, Elise, Shades, Aditi, Rhea, Elizabeth, Elena, Skating Diaries, Anna, Mandolin Arts, Lily Potts, Bethany, Eva, Robin is Trans and Tired, A Different Robin, Sophia, Tracy, Josiah, Sabrina, Magical Zebra in Winter, Alina, Rob, Catherine, Margaret, Marjorie, Robert, Annie, Skating Scores, Vox Machina, Samantha, Karen, Sunny, Shomakari Supremacy, Samira, Joseph, KM, Lucy, Jennifer, Heath, Jules, Danny, and Jordan.
Oh my God, all of you are my favorites. This list keeps getting longer and longer, and we thank you so very much for helping us keep the lights on in the metaphorical studio. You help us keep buying the chandeliers that we keep breaking because we're trying to be the Phantom. And we thank you very much for your continued support.
Thank you, guys. We'll see you soon. Take care.
See you at Worlds. Bye.